If you're here with us last week, we talked about a curious life and what that looks like. And we talked about where a curious life starts. And as we were singing that last song, I was thinking to myself that if someone were to come in here tonight and see high school students worshiping in spirit and truth, and I know the Lord knows our hearts where we are and if it's authentic or not, but that would be a curious thing. One of the things I love, for those of you maybe who are here tonight visiting with us and hanging out with us, I love the fact that you get to come and hopefully see other students who are really worshiping the Lord through song. There's a lot of ways to worship Christ. It's not just when we sing songs and close our eyes, but tonight I hope those of you who may are just were here tonight were just encouraged by that. Last week we talked about a curious life, and I just wanted to ask this week, how'd you do? When people saw your life this week, did the curiosity about your life and the way you are pursuing Christ lead them to reverence for Jesus? If it did, man, God bless you. Keep going. If it didn't, be encouraged tonight. There's a new week ahead of you. And I'm going to encourage you along those same lines tonight of what a curious life looks like. I was thinking about this, that the first year that I was in ministry, way back in 92, okay, you guys can, that was a long time ago. Some of you were barely born at that point. My first year in ministry, I was doing ministry with a guy named Jeff Dykstra. And Jeff was a guy from California and actually grew up in Colorado and moved out to California, went to a college out there, and I was Oklahoma boy. And we met in Arkansas, Conway, Arkansas, to do this thing called K-Life. And we were doing that together, and I remember Jeff was one of those guys that was totally uninhibited to do anything in front of anybody. Y'all know people like that? I'm really not one of those people. I mean, you guys know I love to be silly and all that stuff, but I'm not the guy that will go in front of a restaurant and just get up and do something dumb where everybody goes, looks over, and you're like, you know, I'm not that guy. And but this buddy of mine, Jeff, was that guy, and we were talking one time with a leader about what happens at Kanakuk. And we're, thank you, I'm glad you're here. But it happens every week, I mention that. But there was these, if you've been to camp, there's these, our Indian dances that go on, okay? And I know that's weird and all that stuff. But at the first of camp, there's these guys that will do, and they'll get in these Indian outfits, and they will, thank you, thank you for the sound effects. They will do these Indian dances, and I'm going to tell you, they're really silly looking, okay? And as much, I was the guy, they asked me to do those one time, and I could not be serious, and I was the guy that was messing around during the Indian dances. And you do not do that at Kanakuk, okay? I was the guy out there going, hell, how you doing? You know, that kind of thing. And just, I just did not want to be that guy in the nice leather thing dancing around. And so, but these dances are just, I mean, they really get into it and they do all these spins. And there's just one called the butterfly dance, okay? And it's really this, I mean, all these guys get down in this crouch position like this and they start going, okay? And they that's what they do, okay? And it's very authentic Indian dances, okay? And my buddy was telling, Jeff was telling one of our leaders about it, and he goes, well, here, let me show you. Okay, and we're in the middle of El Chico, a fine Mexican establishment, and he gets out in the middle of the restaurant like no one else is there, okay? It's like Sunday afternoon after church. It's packed. And he's out there in the middle going, oh, yeah, and he goes like this, and he's doing this butterfly thing, and I mean the whole restaurant is looking at him. And I'm just standing there going, all right, just met this guy. He's a little off his rocker, you know? And that just floors me. I mean, it's like, and I was thinking about how curious and strange that brother looked to everybody in there. You know, they probably thought he'd had a little something to drink at that point, okay? But he hadn't. And it was just this. And then one night, I'll tell you another story about him. We were in the internship together with K-Life. We were living in the K-Life house. And one night, I was out studying. We were studying for these classes. We were going through these discipleship classes. And he comes out with his sleeping bag wrapped around him, and he's heading out the front door. And I was like, Jeff, where are you going? And he goes, Bron, get outside your walls, man. Okay? What that means. And so he goes out in the front yard of the K-Life house and sleeps there all night in a sleeping bag. Okay? The next day, buses are pulling up to school at junior high, and my buddy's out there in a sleeping bag, totally sound asleep in the front yard, okay? Could have been in the backyard, but he said, let's just go out in the front yard, okay? So this guy was just a strange, curious dude. And, you know, when people are like that, you take note. And that's a silly example of what I hope our lives will people will take note of our lives. When we really live for Christ, like we talked about last week, people will take note. And you don't have to go sleep in your front yard tonight in a sleeping bag. You don't have to go do an Indian dance at El Chico Fine Establishment, Mexican Establishment. I have to say that because they're sponsoring us tonight. But I'm kidding. But you don't have to do that. But what I would encourage you to, in the same way that was peculiar to those around them, I pray, guys, that our lives and girls, that our lives are curious to those around us. We're going to look back at, before we do that, in 1 Peter 4, I want you to see something. Look at this verse. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Let me stop there. Guys, if we are people who don't live for just all our earthly pleasures and all the stuff that we want to do in our flesh, if we live our life for the will of God, that is going to stand out. That will be as curious as Jeff Dykstra out in the front yard in a sleeping bag, and even more so. And I'm going to tell you, the older I get and the more I've done student ministry, the more I think that is more true today. That you will stand out even more because people are moving away from the Lord, not towards Him. So as we live those lives, if we live for the will of God, our lives will be curious. Let's read on. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery and lust and drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. They heap abuse on you. What I want you to notice is the word right there. They think it's strange. They think it's curious that you would not jump in with them and do everything that they're doing because they go, this is life. And what I want to challenge you with tonight is there are a lot of people out around you. Last week we talked about people who are striving to live good lives and they'll never get there. We also talked about those who are impersonating Christians but don't know Jesus. That's us a lot of times. And this week we're going to talk about a little bit in a different way. We're going to talk about those who are diving into the world's stuff and it's leaving them empty and wanting, and they're looking around going, who is going to leave a strange life in this world? One that is worthy of taking note of. I love that word plunge because that's the way it feels. It is just, man, I'm just going to jump in with everything I got in the world's stuff, and they think it's going to be this great dive into this great water. I don't know if you guys have ever, when I was a kid, I can remember this vividly, jumping in to pool, diving in, thinking it was a little deeper. You guys ever done that? And I remember jumping in and going, this is going to be great. And I dove in and I got my perfect form. And I never had perfect form, just kidding. But I dive in and I remember meeting the bottom with my face in a hurry. You guys ever done that? Raise your hand if you've done it. Okay, good. Getting some honesty out here. I've done that, and you know, it's this great dive. You're looking at that cool water, you're thinking, and you just dive in, and you hit the bottom, and there's pain right there in your face. And I want to tell you, that is what the world is doing. They're looking at something that looks so great, and they want to plunge in. They think it's strange that you don't plunge in with them. But hopefully, you've read God's word, and you know that God warns you that there's a great deal of pain that you're going to cause yourself and others if you plunge into that life. Last week, we talked about Acts 19. Okay, I'm going to flip there again tonight. And I want you to see these verses right here. It says this. Many of those who believed. Now, what we talked about last week was that these people started having reverence for the Lord because they saw these guys trying to impersonate being like Paul. And they said, we cast out demons and the same demons that in the name of the Jesus that Paul talks about. So it wasn't a Jesus that they knew. It was these seven sons of Sceva did this. And what happened was, is these demons whipped them. And we talked about last week how that is true for us. When we try to talk about a Jesus we don't know, really, then we are going to be whipped by the world's stuff. We will be deceived. We will be taken hostage to the world's stuff. So what happens here is many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. What happened is once they started, they realized to Christ that he was the real deal, and they gave him honor. They believe and now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. I want to tell you, I'm going to give you some marks tonight of what I think a curious life looks like. Okay, I want to give some more definition to it. What I love right here is the first thing about a curious life is that people openly confess their sin. You guys, I was so encouraged this week with my junior guys. We got together this week for the first time in a while. And I'm going to tell you, we talked about real stuff. And I was so encouraged by it. I don't know if you guys are doing that in your small groups or if there's people that you're really openly confessing your sin with. Here's a shocker. We all sin. Okay? I know that's a shocker. Okay? And what happens is in our small groups, we or in our time with other people, we don't ever talk about sinning like we don't. And I think that's a mistake. And I'm going to tell you that God's word in John 3 tells us the reason we don't is because we love darkness and we want to keep our deeds hidden because we're ashamed of them. We don't want them to be exposed. And I'm going to tell you the best thing that you can do if you want to be someone who pursues Christ and lives a curious life, one of the best things you can do is be open and honest about your sin. Struggle well. There's a couple reasons why that's important. One is because when you hide things, they continue to fester and they continue to grow. That's one. Secondly, it's good for you to confess that for others because when others look at your life, if they think that being a Christian is about living a perfect life, you are setting a stage for them that is incorrect. You're giving them a false picture. And if they think that Christians are perfect, then when are they going to ever talk to you about their sin and about their struggles? If you just say, well, I've got to keep up this image of the Christian at my school. You know, one of the best things you can do as a believer is to say, man, I am not perfect myself, but I want to pursue one who is and that makes me whole and makes life right, makes me righteous before the Lord. And it's all about him. When we stand around or sit around and we try to put on a false image that we don't have any struggles, that's not healthy. And that's not a good picture of what it looks like to really follow Christ. That's not curious. In fact, most people would probably say that's how all Christians act. They act like they've got their act together and they don't have any problems, and they do. It's one of the best things that's happened here at CR, Celebrate Recovery. The reason that ministry is exploding at our church is because people are finally going, okay, I'm going to be real about my struggles. And you know what? CR doesn't need to happen on Monday night. It can happen in all of our lives all the time. Because all of us struggle and all of us sin. But we've got to get in a place where we begin to openly confess that. All right? Second thing is that there's repentance and they confessed and took action. Let's go back to that verse for a minute in Acts. If we can. Many of those who believe now came, a number of them who have practiced sorcery, brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Okay? When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. That was a lot of money in that day. And this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. See, when we are going to live a curious life, we don't just confess our sin. That's part of it. But I think a lot of us stay there. We go, man, I'm just going to confess my sin. Every time I mess up, I'll just go back to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm sorry I did it again. You know I'm a sinner. We do that. And God wants us to take action. Now, we can't do it without his power, but we need to repent, and that means to confess and turn. And what I love about these people in Acts is they took something that was very valuable to them, something they were holding on to, something they might have hidden, and they openly confessed it. And then not only did they confess it, but they brought these books that were, they were probably these sorcery books, and they came and they burned them, and they were worth a lot of money. And it showed that, hey, Lord, we value you over the things of this world. And I'd ask you guys tonight, let's look at the third thing. There was a disregard as they brought these things before the Lord and burned them. They said, I have a disregard for worldly stuff. Let me ask you this. You're not probably out there in sorcery books. I don't know that because there's weird stuff going on today. But let me tell you, I'm sure there's areas of idolatry in your life, just like mine. There's things that you would put before the Lord. And you know what the Lord would have you do? He'd say, man, you need to confess that and you need to bring it to me. Okay, and it may not look the same as you go burn something, but maybe it does, I don't know. But I would just tell you what I would ask you to ask the Lord right now. Lord, show me things in my life right now that I put above you. And you guys think about the worldly stuff that you put so much stock in, and I'm going to tell you where that's going to leave you. If you continue to chase that stuff, it'll leave you empty and you'll be whipped, just like we talked about last week. The challenge is, though, I think for us, is that we rarely think about those things. we rarely think about the world's stuff that so easily entangles us. Look at these verses in 1 John. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that murder, this is how we know what love is, right here. Jesus Christ lays down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for brothers. If anyone has material possessions, the worldly stuff, and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? The love of the world's stuff is stuff that will always entangle you and take you hostage. And you know what? It's real subtle, isn't it? You probably go, man, I don't know of anything that's really trapping me. But think about the last thing that you really worried about or you were really consumed with that wasn't about God at all. And how it robbed your joy, maybe made you worry, maybe made you treat people differently because you were so consumed by it you didn't notice anybody else around you. That's how our lives become not so curious. They become like everybody else because we become so self-consumed. You know, as I thought about the next one, this goes along with this, but I want that a curious life also is someone who doesn't dive into the stuff that's fun for a season. In that same small group this week, we talked about how there is just, if we're honest, there's a thrill to dive into stuff that looks great. And we sometimes, because I asked this one of the guys confessed something that they'd done. And I said, hey, what was the motivation of your heart? And he goes, it just looked like fun. And I said, man, that's honest. But the problem is, things that look like fun can cause us pain. You know, this summer we were out at Estes Park, and we were sledding down a hill. And I looked up, and of course, one of my good buddies, Mr. Bill Lyle, had climbed up. Everybody was kind of sledding down this hill, and it was really, those who went, it was so steep. And at the very bottom, I mean, it was a dip, and you just crashed and burned every time. And people were coming down, and then past the snow was rocks. Okay, let me give you an idea. Sledding on rocks, not so much fun. Okay, and what happened was people were flying through this hill, and they would go out on these rocks and stuff, and I was going, man, I did not get up there with my son and go, let's go get them, okay? But I look up, and there's one guy climbing up higher than everybody else. I thought, okay, it's Bill, all right? Those of you who know Bill, Bill's ridden on bulls in a rodeo just because it was a junior high event and stuff he's done. So I decided, we got some footage of him, and I want you to show you. This is a great example of diving into something that looks great, but I think Bill would tell you he's still feeling the pain from this today. So let's take a look at this video. Because you had a bad day, you take it one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you were gonna smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, the camera don't lie, you're coming back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, you had a bad day. My favorite part of that video is when Bill gets up at the end and he's trying to play it off, you know, and he gets up like and he goes, it looks like he had a hitch in his giddy up, all right? And I'm going to tell you, that looked great. And Bill is like, he's like, man, afterwards we were talking, he's like, man, I'm still hurting from that. Okay, Bill also one time on a ski trip decided he needed to go to the terrain park, okay, on his snowboard, and both his wrists have never been the same. Okay, he broke them. I think, was it both of them or one of them?
One was 1 year, one was
2 years. Yeah, okay. And so, here's what I'd tell you. The stuff that looks so good, that's fun for a season, it's a great example of how, let's take that silly illustration and tie it over to our lives. When we dive into stuff that looks great, and people might be there, the scriptures warn you going, hey, you do that, it's going to cause pain. Okay? And what you saw there is how it caused that for Bill. It's even more so when we look at something that looks fun and realize that here's the thing that's different. It's going to cause us pain and others pain because that's what sin does. A couple other things, a curious life. Look at the next one. Oh, I'm sorry, I got one verse. Galatians 6, look at this. The one who sows to please a sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Okay, that's pretty clear, isn't it? If we sow to our sinful stuff, if we just chase what we want, we will end up getting destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I love that scripture. You know, when I realize that when I chase my own stuff and I'm living for me, I reap destruction every time. And it's not just me, it's others. So remember that as you're walking this week, the Lord. Lord, help me to sow the Spirit. Help me to know you. Help me to walk with you so that my life will be curious to those around me and so others might see you. See, what happened in the Acts chapter is the word of God spread. And you know why I think it spread? Is because people were being real and they were pointing to Jesus and going, look, we've got to turn from this stuff and really turn our hearts and our eyes towards Christ. That's curious, guys. That's a curious life, and it will be one in your schools if you will really be folks who pursue them. Last two are this. Loving those who are hard to love. And I think that one stands. These are two that I've just added because I think in your high school, this is one that will really stand out. You want to stand out, right? You want to stand out for Christ. You want people to see your life, and they're so curious about your life that it brings reverence for Christ. How are you doing in this area? You know, it's hard to love our own friends, isn't it, sometimes? It's hard to love me with my friends. I know they struggle with loving me at times. And so I want to tell you, ask the Lord, I will not love those who are hard to love if I don't know Jesus and if I'm not walking with them. I just won't. I will love me really well, but I will not love others well. The last one is this. It goes right along with that. Humility. Thinking of yourself less. Okay? That's what a great definition of humility. Think of yourself less this week. First start of thinking about Christ and turning your hearts and minds his way. And then see what happens when you begin to think of yourself less. You will be surprised at how curious your life will become to others because no one else is. You just won't do it. Without Jesus in your heart, you will only last so long thinking of others. You ever been on that situation? Like some of y'all that went to New Orleans with us this summer, it was easy to think of others for a little while, for maybe that first day. And the second day, you're like, man, I was sitting there, Dave and I were pulling that bathtub out of that house. And I was like, Lord, it wouldn't be bad to be back in Dallas right now. I was thinking of me. And I had to ask the Lord, why am I here? Help me to think of you. Help me to think of others outside of myself. Last thing I would tell you guys is this. In order to leave a curious life, to lead one, you're going to have to dive in, but not in the world stuff. You're going to have to dive into a relationship with Jesus like never before. And here's what I don't mean. My son Cooper right now is trying to learn to dive, and so is Braden. They're both trying, and when they dive into the pool, they go like this. They jump. You've seen this. They don't really dive. They just jump, and they bend their upper body, okay? And they go in like this, and they go, did I get it? And I'm like, nope. Okay? And to dive takes some trust, doesn't it? You've got to really let go. And when those feet come up and diving for a kid, that is a huge thing. And so what they do is they just jump off and bend their like this and kind of slap their bellies on the water. And I punish them for that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I want to tell you, what I want to encourage you, don't dive like my boys into a relationship with Christ like that. And dive in, head first, feet, all of you, into that water. Like we talked about this morning, I loved Gary's sermon this morning, the living water that Christ is. Dive into those waters, and your life will change. You cannot change yourself. All these things I listed, if you go through these and try to be that person without knowing Jesus and walking with him, it will never work. And thank the Lord he didn't set it up that way, because we depend on ourselves. Let me pray. God, thank you for your word. I'm so thankful that what you showed these people in Acts, that they saw that you were really Jesus, that you were the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it changed your life. They openly confessed their sin. They brought all their stuff that meant so much to them, and they burned it. And then your name spread throughout the land. God, would you do that here? Would you do that in more than 25 high schools that are represented here tonight? And Lord, it's going to start with some of these students right in here, that they would really love you and walk with you in a way that is so apparent to others. Lord, and the way that happens is we've got to die to us, and we've got to let you live through us. We've got to look at the world's stuff and consider it as junk in comparison to knowing you. Lord, would you do that work in our heart? Lord, for those who really want that, I pray that they would really seek your face like never before this week. They would walk with you. They'd be in tune with your spirit. And they wouldn't reap destruction because they were sown to their flesh, but they would reap life. We love you and we thank you for Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.